You're listening to Munch, a podcast and website where we pair meals with movies. I'm Ben.
I'm Andre.
I'm Leanna.
And this week we are talking about The Fast and the Furious, but specifically for a Fast Week in preparation for the Fate of the Furious, which we are all very excited for.
I can tell you.
So we are going to be coming at you both fast and furious with these podcasts. We have 7 planned over pretty much the next week. So tune in regularly for these podcasts. We are actually going in chronological order. Not
chronologically release date, but chronological story universe.
Yeah. So that's going to start with The Fast and the Furious. Then we have Too Fast, Too Furious. Mm-hmm. Then we skip Tokyo Drift and go to Fast and Furious. Then it's Fast 5, Fast and Furious 6, Tokyo Drift, and then Furious 7. Are we actually going to podcast after Fate of the Furious?
It depends. We can try.
I feel like that would be timely.
Yeah.
I would like to. It feels like the right way to close it all out.
We are doing it on a Friday.
I'm sure we'll have some thoughts.
Yes. Okay.
So
we'll go for it.
So before we dive into the film and like everything we want to talk about the film, I do want us to set up just like if you've been following the blog for a little bit, our love for The Fast and the Furious is not new to you, but I do on the record on the podcast want to set up the reason why we love The Fast and the Furious so much and like how it all started and how we actually got into it. Because I think that's kind of an interesting story in terms of our history as a blog.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we really love The Fast and the Furious. We have had multiple conversations over the past couple months with like people who haven't seen The Fast and the Furious, trying to get them to watch The Fast and the Furious.
And I started where a lot of these people were at, where I watched the first 2 movies, didn't think much of it, was never interested in watching anymore, and Ben, you convinced us to watch them, to go past the first 2, which is now what I always find myself telling other people to do. Like, you have to get past the first 2. They are so different from the rest of the series, and I'm not saying that the first 2 are bad, but
if you didn't get
into the first 2, that is not a good reason to not be watching Fate of the Furious.
Totally. Like they set
it's a different
up,
series, practically.
They set up what everything else is later in the film, but it's so important to the franchise itself, those first 2.
Yeah, absolutely.
So to take us all back, let's head back in time. This was in 2014?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my gosh, that was a long time ago.
It was.
So this was 2014. I think we had just watched Con Air the week before.
Yep.
We were planning to watch Vampire's Kiss. Is that correct?
That is correct. We had a whole meal for that also. This is before we were documenting our blog post, but I specifically remember we had made like pasta and garlic bread and like really focused on garlic because it's a vampire movie. And we're so new to this like obscure movie watching industry that we didn't think to look up whether or not Vampire's Kiss was even available. And as you might know, if you've like looked into this movie at all, because it kind of has like a bit of a cult recognition.
It's also very short.
It is not available anywhere. And like
Nick Cage wants this movie dead. Yeah. He wants it gone. They're trying to erase Vampire's Kiss.
Yes.
But just like vampires, it comes back alive.
Yes.
You can buy it on Amazon, and eventually we did, and we did watch it. But that night,
you have to literally invite Vampire's Kiss into your home.
Good one. So I specifically remember we were like, well, we're all in the mood to watch a movie. What do we do? And Ben was like, well, we could watch The Fast and the Furious. And Andre put up a huge fuss about it and was like, I'm not in the mood for this. I don't want to do it. Blah, blah, blah. Cars. I'm not interested.
Uh-huh.
And we watched the preview for it. And I was like, no, we're doing this. This is happening now. We're doing this. And so we did not have the right meal for it, but like, within the first couple minutes of the film, I think we all turned around and we're like, wait, this is something special.
Yeah.
And then that was a point where we decided we're going to watch every single one of them. This will be a thing for us.
I think Ben had decided a while ago that we were going to watch every single one of them. And that's when the power shifted in Ben's favor.
It most definitely did. Because at that point, Fast Five and Furious Six, no, Fast Five and Fast and Furious Six had already come out. Uh-huh. So I knew how good that series could get. And I was like, if we're watching Con Air of all things, we, like, Fast and the Furious franchise is right up our alley, and mm-hmm. we have to get into this. This yeah. is, like, it was my, like, dying wish, even though I wasn't dying.
So just a wish.
Yes, so just a wish to get us three to watch the Fast and Furious franchise.
Yeah, well, and I'm so glad you did, because I think I would have just gone the rest of my life thinking that it was just a really stupid, shallow action film. Mm-hmm. And
which a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to watch the movie and make a decision for yourself. Yeah. Stay off Rotten Tomatoes, or most of the time you can trust Rotten Tomatoes and it helps you filter stuff out. But sometimes you just got to watch these series for yourself and see what it's all about and see if you personally like it. We all personally love Fast and Furious and we've met a lot of people who have too. I mean, there's big Fast fans out there, Fast heads.
Yeah.
Is that what they call them?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you sure they're not like NOS heads or something?
Oh, I like NOS heads.
NOS boys? NOS boys? Something
like that.
There could
be NOS ladies.
We'll work on it. Yeah.
It's
an inclusive boys.
But it's...
It's like boys in the way that the McElroy brothers refer to them.
Yeah. But it has opened up so many conversations with people that I don't think I would have had otherwise. And I just love talking about it with people. Like,
that is what I wanted to get to, because there is like a passion in which we talk about the Fast and the Furious. Like, if we were a TV show right now, we would cut to like someone's reaction of us after we had just talked to them about how just passionate we were. I'm thinking specifically back to a couple weeks ago when we were sitting in Rachel's ginger beer and telling some friends of friends.
Some of the uninitiated.
Just how great this series is. Some dropouts.
Yeah.
They dropped out after the first two.
Yeah. So we're here today and for the next 2 weeks to invite you into this world that we love so much.
And I think we're going to like save our thoughts on the franchise as a whole for the last episode. So let's just jump into The Fast and the Furious on its own. We have like a couple of bits and sections that you'll have repeated throughout each of these podcasts, just so that you, the listener, can orient yourself across all of these, and so that we can bring up similar points to all of them. So up first is, and this is a question for everyone: what was the fastest and most furious moments in the film? Or it doesn't have to be moments. It can be people, things. It can be anything.
I think they hit on both. Well, okay. Let's start with Fast, because I think I know what they both are. I don't want to go. Let's start with Fast. When I felt like the movie was moving the fastest was the very first drag race, when everyone has everyone's in their cars and it looks like it's going to be a pretty by the numbers drag race. But then everyone pulls out their little mini computer wherever it is in the car, and they set up, you know, their hyperspeed drives, and then they're driving.
It literally is hyperspeed, though.
They're driving, and they'll be playing with their computers and hitting NOS buttons, and you see, like, the world warp around them like it does in the Millennium Falcon when they go into hyperspace. Like you see the world just turn into blurs outside the windows. And there's like this warped effect, and it felt very fast.
I actually had the same fast moment, but for me specifically, it was something that's very special about this movie and is not, I don't think, repeated in the other films. Maybe Too Fast, Too Furious, maybe Tokyo Drift. I just don't recall. But I do remember strongly that it happens in this movie, and it was one of the pieces I was most excited to see. And it's the moment where when they accelerate very hard or hit the NOS or whatever, and immediately you're taken inside the car.
You watch the Fast move through the car.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Like, Fast is personified in steam and pistons and like everything that's happening exhaust. Inside the car. Yeah. Yeah. So that for me was also the fastest moment. And it happens again at a later point in the film, but I think it's that first street race that really sets gets the it.
Tone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would definitely say similarly, but to differentiate and provide a different perspective, I would say the fastest moment for me is probably the race horse scene, which is a very unfortunately titled name for
Go ahead and say that now. Like, we're gonna say race wars on this podcast and we apologize and it sucks.
It's a real thing,
but unfortunately it's in multiple movies and that's just what they call it. Multiple and it's also cities. A thing because we googled it and
it takes place in multiple cities.
So
I think there's a moment there where like everything starts to come together in terms of the plot, and I feel like it all comes together like very quickly, so much so that like Brian's line of Mia, I'm a cop is almost delivered like there's no setup for it.
And there's
yeah, and so I think that is like the fastest moment in this
film. The plot's moving fast.
Yes.
Yeah, he just runs up to her. He had to get it off his chest. Mia, I'm a cop.
Could not take a breath. Could not explain anything about it. Even after the statement, he doesn't like.
Yeah. And they've been on, like, Mia and Brian had been on one date at this point, and she's just giving up her brother to the cop.
And like, they have for sure gone around all the bases, I think we can also say. So, like.
Yeah I think so. You don't just go home to a guy's bed in a, like, car toys.
It wasn't car toys, it was the Racer's Edge.
Off-brand car toys, even worse.
All right, so now for the furious moments.
Yeah, for me, the most furious moment happened at Race Wars, which was when, I want to say, Johnny Tran, the bad guy in this movie. Johnny Tran.
Name? I know his last name is Tran.
Everyone just referred to him as Tran.
Okay.
I think it's Johnny Tran. I'm going with Johnny Tran unless I'm told otherwise.
Yes, I think you're right.
So okay. Johnny Tran has a race. And then he comes up to Dom and he says, Dom, my house was raided last night. I know you ratted on me. And then Dom, this is when it starts getting pretty fast. Dom just like a furious. Switch. Well, it's also fast. I mean, this is Dom
this
gets
is a furious moment.
Fast.
Yeah.
He gets furious fast.
Okay, got it.
Because hence the name of the movie, right. Fast and Furious.
This scene is both Fast and Furious, yes. So what
this
I was
the
trying
namesake of the movie.
To say. Is like a light switch goes off in Dom's head and then he just starts wailing on this guy.
Would you say that he short circuited?
He does, yeah. It's almost like he short circuits.
Interesting.
And he just starts beating this guy up and he says, I've never knocked on nobody. And it was very angry, very furious. That was my most furious moment.
Okay.
It's a good furious moment.
My furious moment is
and towards no reason. Like, never in the movie does he set up that, like, someone narked on him or, like, it's not something he would never do. It's just, like, such a passionate moment and we don't really know why. Like, he tells a story about how he went to jail.
His character is called into question.
Yeah, and I think because of his experiences in prison, he would never want to put that on someone else. So I think you're right, Andre, that there's not a clear connection between the A and the B.
Yeah.
But I think we as viewers can fill in it, even though that is a failure of the film itself.
Okay.
So yeah, like, I think you're totally right. While also we can at least come up with a reason why that.
It's almost like someone should have narked on him and that's why he went to jail or something. Like just a little bit of a hint of the piece.
Well, the thing is, Andre, we don't know exactly what happens in jail.
Yeah. That's true. I know some of us have some theories about that.
I mean, Leanna and I never got to our furious moments, but
we gotta close it out.
Okay. All right.
We gotta close it out.
Hold on that thought. We're gonna hit our furious moments. Leanna,
I know I've been hinting pretty heavily.
You've been
here.
Hinting very heavily.
I'm really excited about my upcoming segment, but I wanna do this one justice first.
You're as subtle as a teenage boy at a dance party.
Thanks, Ben. So my furious moment was when At the very beginning, after the initial street race, Brian O'Connor meets up with Dominic Toretto and saves him from the cops, and they end up in front of Tran's, like, family warehouse food store place.
Yeah.
And there's a confrontation. Food. It says food. Yeah. It says, like, food mart or something. It says,
like, grocery mart or something. It's, like, V&C grocery.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a confrontation. Tran and his crew drive away on their motorcycles, and then just as Brian and Tran, and Dominic are getting back into the car, Tran comes back and just shoots it up, and the car, like, lights on fire, and it's this, like, big explosion. And for me, the reason why that's the most furious moment is we had a little bit of a conversation about this as it was happening, about how maybe it's weird that he drove away and come back, but I think that's what makes it furious. It was very intentional that he was going to drive away and then just to fuck with them, he was going to come back and just shoot up the car. Like, he already made his point. He already said his threats, but he came back and just really sent the message.
I mean, how many
home.
Times have you done that where, like, you made your point, you left, and then you kind of simmered on it for a little bit longer, and you had just one more point to make, and so you come back?
You always want to come back, but you never have the opportunity.
Rarely do you. He did.
Yeah.
It adds a layer to his, like, villainy that is, like, perfect.
Yeah.
And is not a subtlety in villains that you get in modern day summer cinema nowadays. Like, it's such a wonderful moment. It's like the cat playing with the mouse.
And we're going to meet other villains later. I'm thinking specifically about Shaw right now. Yeah. And, Shaw's brother, who I only know as Jason Statham.
Deckard Shaw.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, and that's right. Okay.
Who's apparently, like, on the good guys team in the next
movie.
We'll
get there later.
We'll see.
I'm thinking about them, and Tran in this movie has many more layers and is much more interesting, I think, than they are. Yeah. And so, yeah, he's really a great Fast and Furious villain, and that was a scene that just really hit it out of the park.
And I think my furious moment also kind of is centered around Johnny Tran as well. And I also do want to go back and change my fast moment a little bit, but I'm going to start with the furious one at first. And my furious moment is when they are in Johnny Tran's garage and there's, like, a manager there of one of the local shops, and they take him, and Johnny Tran, in like the coolest way possible, was like, should I give him a 40 weight or should I give him a 50 weight? And then, like, just takes this oil, and as his, like, cohort's pumping into him, just, like, pours it in this guy, like, poor man's mouth, and is like one of the most, like,
it's brutal.
It's well, such a disturbing scene in what is, like, ultimately a PG-13 film and a franchise that, like, goes, like, the opposite direction later in the franchise. Like, it's very harsh. It's very
In his defense, 1 week out from Race Wars, the engines in your cars disappear. I'd be furious.
It's a very furious moment.
It is. It's a furious moment.
Andre, you look visibly upset right now.
Just imagine if you go out to drive, you're getting ready for Race Wars. Uh-oh, something's missing. Where'd my engine go?
Are you worried about our Honda Civic, babe?
What if the...
I mean, I know it's parked outside right now. Are you planning on going to Race Wars?
In your Honda Civic?
As long as the engine's there.
Yeah, so, like, it is a really furious moment, and it's just, like, I cannot imagine what that would even taste like and what the guy had to go through after that.
Beer.
Like, did he have to get his stomach pumped? Like, what happened?
I don't know. Yeah.
But that's my furious moment. I think I am going to tweak that section just as a heads up in the upcoming episodes. And it will be the Fast and Furious round delivered fast and furiously. So we all have to deliver it very quickly.
Okay.
Just as a heads up so you can prepare for
the next
episode.
I'm into it. Thank you. That's a great idea.
And as for my fast moment, I think my actual fast moment is the moment when the Honda Civics with green underlighting... And, like, the first 10 minutes of the film, drive underneath the truck.
Iconic.
It is, like, so great. Such a perfect Fast and Furious moment that, like, is simple when you look at the stunts later in the franchise, but wonderful nonetheless.
I mean, that's just, like, it's a stunt. And later in the series, it's a stunt and it has, like, every stunt has, like, three acts, you know? Yes. Like, this is just, like, cool. It's a car under a semi. Okay.
It's well, cool for it. The time.
It is. It
Even
is.
Even in that simplicity, cool. though, like, it's still one of my favorite things. Like, yeah. just the idea that you could drive a car under another car.
And then I know, but in, like... bring it back later in the franchise, it's just, like...
Yeah. Mm. It's
yeah.
a good...
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Chef fingers kiss, mm-hmm. basically.
Yeah.
All right. So, Lana's been hinting enough at what we are going to call Liana's Terminator Corner... which I'm just gonna let this.
Yeah, this
I'm gonna
all you, babe.
Pass this all the way over to Liana.
Can I?
She can set up, describe, tell us everything about it.
It's her corner.
Yeah, I imagine this is delivered in a news reporter style. But
can I get some like gonna... breaking news music from you guys?
We're Welcome. Just going to have to repeat that in the podcast episode now.
You guys, you do it again so I can like do the whole intro. All right, okay, ready? I'm good. Okay.
Yeah,
no, that was
good.
Really
yeah.
good.
Not bad.
That was I wasn't bad. Laughing yeah, at you. I was going. I couldn't take myself seriously, but I'm going to start now.
Okay.
Welcome to Liana's Terminator Corner. For those of you who are new to the Fast and Furious franchise, you may also be new to the theory that Dominic Toretto is in fact a Terminator. And there's tons of evidence throughout the franchise. And so as we're rewatching every film, I am going to be on the watch for clues that indicate that he is in fact a Terminator. So the theory goes like this. In The Fast and the Furious, the movie we just watched, it's referenced that Dominic went to prison before. He spent 2 years. And he says, quote, "I'd rather die than go back." And he says it with such a somber, meaningful tone that you know something very intense mm-hmm. and painful happened to him at prison. So I think that is our first indication that that was where he was turned into a Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
It was while he was at prison. Okay. The next clue that happens in this movie is Brian O'Connor's... like, sergeant, police officer, leader, guy?
We'll call him Dad.
His dad.
Yeah, sure.
Brian O'Connor's dad tells him that Dominic has, quote, nitrous oxide in his blood and a gas tank for brain.
He's speaking literally, huh?
I think he is. I think it's like...
It if that's remember not, what we're dealing with here.
It could be a beautiful metaphor. Yeah. It could also be, like, remember, he's a Terminator. Like, he... is different from you.
If that's that not the make... silver bullet that proves this theory correct, then I don't know what is.
Well, I'll give you one more clue. There's a stunt at the very end of the movie where Brian and Dominic are racing and they just barely jump a train track right before a train blasts through it. And Dom isn't watching where he's going and he accidentally hits a truck and then kind of careens in a spiral and lands. And, I mean, the footage of the car just breaking apart is pretty brutal.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he just, like, walks out. He's okay. And he just gets into a different car and drives off.
He does hold his shoulder at one point. Like, it looks like he's supposed to look
one,
like he's
I have
hurt.
One word for you.
Okay.
Acting.
Okay. Yeah. I believe it. Because he didn't look like it actually hurt, but, like, he was supposed to, like... A human would be hurt in this
yeah,
situation.
Yeah, I think he still has some of his residual human, like, actions. Like, oh, I felt that my shoulder took a hit. It should hurt now.
Yeah.
And yet, he'll be fine.
Okay,
cool.
Yeah.
Liana,
yeah.
do you want to outro Liana's Terminator Corner real quick? And then Andre will follow up with some music.
Oh, do you mean, like, I play the outro? Or, like, just...
Yeah, you speak the outro however you feel... The outro is needed for Liana's Terminator Corner.
This has been Liana's Terminator Corner. We'll see you again this Thursday for Too Fast, Too Furious.
Da, na, na, na. Do, 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 do.
That was so good.
So that was good.
That was fun.
Thank you, Liana. I'm very excited, and I will stay tuned for Liana's Terminator Corner.
And
cannot wait.
It is going to take a full team for us to get to the bottom of this. So if you guys see anything, like,
Takes
let
a village.
Me know.
We will send you some notes.
Unfortunately, Vin's not in the next movie.
That's going to make that a little tough.
True.
So I'm excited. You might have to take a break.
You get 1 week off.
No, no, she doesn't. No? I'm excited to see what she has for next week on Liana's Terminator Corner. So, all right, Terminator Corner. Corner kind of sounds like Corona. So we're going to our next section called Corona Count.
What a segue.
I know.
That was solid.
That was really smooth.
Yeah.
The segment that we're going to call Corona Count, it's going to be real quick, but all three of us are going to say the number of Coronas at the same time that we saw in this film.
Uh-huh.
All right? So ready? 3, 2, 1.
21.
Wait.
I thought it was 25.
Where did you get the 25?
Yeah.
Well, the first one. Well,
oh my
I think
God,
the first
you
said 15, and then you said plus 6, which brought us to 21.
Uh-huh.
And then you never, and then we never saw another
Corona. Yeah, there were no Coronas after that. It became more serious.
Did you see more Coronas?
Were there Coronas at Race Wars?
26?
No, maybe it was 21. You're right. Because there was they had 15 at the party, and then they had 6 at dinner.
And just for our listeners, again, the reason why we are counting Coronas is because it becomes a bit of a thing, especially with regards to Dominic Toretto. And there's a line in this movie in particular where he's having a house party after the initial street race, and he hands Brian O'Connor a Corona and says, "You can have any beer you want, as long as it's Corona."
It's a great line.
Counting Coronas sounds like a great, like, tropical cover band for counting crows.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
Counting Coronas. Thank you for Corona for sponsoring this segment.
God, I wish.
Corona.
In the Corona Count for Fast and Furious. We will be drinking Coronas all week long, I hope. I will at least purchase it.
Yeah, we drank NOS tonight, which was appropriate. Yeah,
very appropriate.
We'll pick up the Coronas.
Because
later
I think Fast and Furious. The Fast and the Furious is the movie with the most NOS product placement. That logo is everywhere.
Yeah.
It's great.
I think we originally had that as a drinking rule, and it's a pretty brutal one.
It's a really weird, like, marketing play. I would love to be a fly on the wall in those NOS Fast and Furious meetings.
Why is it a weird one to you?
Because the product isn't... The product is an energy drink, but in the movies, it's portrayed as...
Wait, are NOS and NOS related?
They follow the same branding and style.
So they're probably owned by the same...
I'm not sure if they're owned, but they are definitely co-opting the same brand image and style.
This...
And using the speed and kick you get from nitrous oxide in the same way that you get that same kick and speed from NOS, the energy drink.
So my theory is that the energy drink took, you know, like Ben mentioned, that those NOS existed in the racing world. The energy drink took that, branded it, made a logo for it, and put it in a bottle meant for human consumption. And then Fast and Furious said, "You've got a logo for NOS. We want that to be prominent in our movie. We'll use your logo if you pay us, and I'll be marketing for you guys." And so it's kind of like snake eating its tail kind of a thing.
Interesting.
This podcast,
I'm gonna do some research
not sponsored
into it.
By NOS, unfortunately.
I'm going to drop some history right here real quick.
Ooh.
In February 2005, the Fuse Beverage Company launched the beverage. The name NOS was licensed from Holley Performance Products, which manufactures the nitrous oxide systems brand of automotive nitrous injection systems.
Oh, so it's like a partnership.
Yeah. So according to Holley, NOS is the first automotive product to have a consumable food product share its name and logo.
I mean, they do make sense together. Like, if ever there was going to be a car part and a beverage that linked up, it makes sense.
And NOS Energy Drink does throw a lot of branding around cars and... Like, they have a NOS.
We follow them on Instagram.
Team NOS?
Team NOS, yeah.
Okay. Team NOS.
Which has
NOS
total,
for teens.
Yeah.
A total of 2 members on Team NOS, and that is just Kyle Busch and Chris Forsberg.
Oh yeah, they're
so quite
great.
The team.
I know exactly who they are.
Yeah.
I've at least heard of
them. Really big names. Very popular with teens.
Yeah, for Team NOS.
Man, I didn't know there were promotions. I can win a Nissan car?
Enter!
NOS just bringing you everything.
Yeah, get after it.
I like, one thing I do like, on this, I'm on the NOS website right now.
You're going to get so many weird ads now, Ben.
You're not wrong. But after every time, in the header of all things, after every time they use the word NOS, they have a registered trademark symbol after it. So just in the header, they have NOS written out three times with the registered trademark symbol after it every single time.
Yeah, but now you'll never forget that it's a registered trademark.
It just looks really bad.
I know, but now you'll never forget that it's a registered trademark.
And they're covering their bases.
Yeah, because you'll never forget.
So thank you, NOS, for providing the drinks tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm just going to pretend all these people sponsored us.
Sure.
All right, so the next segment that we have is, I kind of want to set this up real quick. But the Fast and Furious franchise, I think, has somehow created a name for itself in the type of music it picks for the films itself. It most definitely sets the scene and the tone and the feeling of the movie as a whole. And the movies would just not be what they are without the music in them. Mm-hmm. Pitbull and all.
He wasn't in this movie, though. And it has a very different sound.
Yes.
Yeah. It has a very different sound.
But I think back to each of the films, and there's at least one song that I can recognize from the soundtrack, and it sets, like, the mood for the film as a whole.
And what is the one from this soundtrack?
This soundtrack would be Watch Your Back.
Is that the one that they play at the credits?
No, it's the one they play at the very beginning when Brian's getting beat up after he has a tuna sandwich.
Yeah. And it just basically says, watch your back over and over.
Yeah. Again. And there are a lot of similar songs that had like a very like intense, like
kind of like yell singing.
Yelly. Yeah. Yeah.
So not like screaming, but like yell singing.
We would all say yelling. We would all, I'm talking for everyone, but I'm assuming we would all say that the music in this was not the best in the Fast and Furious franchise, correct?
No, but it did.
It has its moments.
It did feel cohesive. Like, yes. I didn't agree with the choices because I don't personally like that music. Yes. And I think there could have been better choices. But they were consistent. I would say there's, like, three different types of songs that they had in this film. And there were those, like, yelly, hardcore, intense songs that all had their place in similar scenes. And then there were the, I'm just going to call it the Brian song. And this was where they had, often it was kind of techno, like old school electronic, fast paced music where they played a lot, during like driving scenes or just scenes where Brian is doing stuff. And then the last one is like the taking you out of the moment music where, previously, they were playing one of the other two songs, and then there would be, like, something softer, more melodic, like, something emotional is happening. There's piano. Mm-hmm. And those were the three that they kind of moved throughout.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting... And, like, I think the biggest failing was there was one moment when Vin gets into his, like, classic American muscle car, and it's at such at odds with the music in the film itself because then this like trance EDM track comes on.
Yeah, which was Brian's music.
Yeah, it's Brian's music and not Vin's. And it like loses the impact of that moment of Vin getting in this car that his father had and owned and is like reminds him of his father. We just wanted to mention the music.
Not a perfect movie by any means. But no.
But like pretty I close. Said, like they...
I feel like on the last episode, we should rank the movies for our personal picks.
Yeah, I'm into that.
All right.
Yeah.
And so the last segment we have today is called Welcome to the Family and Our Dearly Departed, in which we welcome new cast members to the family, as well as pour one out for those that we lost in this movie.
So since this is the first episode, I think we should introduce the core family.
Yeah,
I think we got to go through these fast and furious. Like each person, you get one character, you say one sentence about it, on to the next person.
I think we can do that.
Okay.
And then you just kind of have to go.
Let's do one person starts, you name a character, and then you pass one to me.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, it all centers around Vin. Vin is
Papa Dom.
Papa Dom.
Yeah, so you should like
Leanna's going to intro you to Papa Dom because she knows the most about him.
Well, you should say their character name as well.
That's what I was trying to say.
Vin Diesel, also known as Dominic Toretto.
There you go.
Leanna, to you.
Okay.
He's not even going to, like, add a sentence about him.
You know the most about Dominic.
No, but she's going to do a different character.
Yeah, okay, you explain fine. Dominic.
Then I'll start with Brian, because Leanna's the expert on Dominic. Jeez. So, Brian...
I think we're having a fight right now, like, live on the podcast.
Brian O'Connor is played by Paul Walker.
Paul Driver, I'd like to say.
All right, this is mine. He's got clear eyes, a full heart, and he can't lose. he's got beautiful curls and...
blue eyes.
Yeah, blue eyes. A pure soul and a smile that breaks your heart every time. Leanna's going to explain
Dominic.
The smile
that launched a thousand ships.
Oh, jeez. Okay, so Dominic Toretto, who's played by Vin Diesel, is the patriarch of the family. Everything kind of centers around him, and he's a strong, like, intense, like, person, but he also has a very soft side where you can tell that he cares deeply about his family, especially his little sister, who Ben will talk about.
Oh, man, you're just setting me up for this. I don't even get a choice. So,
no, you don't.
Jordana Brewster plays Mia Toretto, the kind of soft-spoken but, like, silently bold, and she has her moments in the film in which she just, like, totally turns a scene around in such a strong way. Isn't like the biggest driver in the group and in the family, but like an important part that keeps the family together. She oftentimes, I feel, plays a motherly role in keeping the family together and like repairing relationships. And I think she's really great at that.
Wise beyond her years.
Yes.
Best tuna sandwiches west of the Mississippi.
Even if she doesn't think so.
Yeah. She's modest.
All right, Andre.
No, you have to tell him.
Oh, you are going to talk about Jesse.
Jesse is...
No, we're introing the family.
That's fine. I'll intro Jesse.
He's the family. He's part of the
Jesse
family.
Jesse is great with computers. In a different life, he would have gone to MIT, but he has the... What do you call it? Attention deficit.
ADD.
Great with computers. Specifically from the film. Just out of the blue, made a custom program to... Model
on a floppy disk.
Yeah, on a floppy disk.
He's real talented.
What a car would look like in red, green, paints his nails black, races against the baddest bad in the land without a thought. I mean, he is impulsive. He's funny. He prays to the car gods in this movie, and he's one of our favorites.
Yeah. And Leanna, I'm only now thinking of like an interpretation of him as like the first gay character in the Fast and Furious franchise, kind of into this idea, but there's not a lot to go on, and of course he dies.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Leanna, you could talk about Letty.
Full name. Letty. Letitia
Ortiz.
I wasn't gonna get the last name. Thank you for that though. Played by Michelle Rodriguez. She is Dominic's right-hand woman. She's so badass. There's a scene at Race Wars where there's a fist fight happening, and there's a guy that Dominic is fighting, Tran at this point, and Tran's right-hand man is about to come in and get involved, and Letty just takes him out in a punch.
Like it was nothing.
She has one of the best lines in the movies, which is, "I smell skanks."
It's real good.
It's real good. And her delivery is just... I mean, everything about her. Like, she just doesn't...
Her shoes?
Perfect. Yeah.
Excellent.
Cannot find... Mm-hmm. If I could find those shoes...
Those are, like, hand-painted.
I'd be so delighted.
I think what's inspired by a British flag.
But I just... I'm not sure. She's pictured so many times just working in the garage with everyone else. Just, she has as much knowledge, as much expertise as anyone else. She can race with the best of them, hold her own. She's fantastic.
Yep. Yeah.
Awesome. And someone who's not so awesome, I'm going to give you Vince.
Oh, Vince. I'm not going to say black sheep of the family, but he's just like the
black mesh of the family.
The black mesh of the family.
Fan of mesh shirts, fan of wearing multiple shirts, fan of wearing multiple tank tops. He just has a select set of shirts that he likes to wear on at the exact same time.
His and rather than choose one, he wears them all at once.
His signature look is camo tank top with a like a black mesh on top of it.
I mean, it's good. It works on him.
It's a look.
It's a look.
You forgot about the black wristband.
And he has a black wristband that like is probably 6 inches long. I think it has six straps.
It's four.
Are you sure?
It's double the Apple band.
That's true.
Because we talked about this.
Okay, so four straps. Sorry, Vince, I don't know your actor name, but you're not the greatest person because you also use the word faggot in this film, and it always comes off really weird.
Yeah, that scene is so off aged, compared to everything else. It
has not aged really well.
No.
And it's always just like a little bit of a surprise. But yeah, so Vince... You're nothing special. Sorry, dude.
He's and not.
That rounds out the family, right?
That's everyone who's at the family dinner. An argument can be made for Hector, but I think he kind of has his own faction.
Not yet.
He has his own shop.
No one refers to him as family. He's not sitting around.
I think these are all the characters that carry over.
Yeah.
You're right.
Okay.
Those are the people who work in the shop. They have dinner together. That's the family.
Now we got to pour one out for our dearly departed.
Jesse, once again.
Yeah.
Such a bummer.
So quickly we got to know you, and so quickly we had to say goodbye.
It is. That's a rough one. He was an interesting character, and as we all talked about, he does a really good job of making you feel for him, and he's just, like, taken away from you so quickly.
Yeah. And there isn't a whole lot of time in the movie to say goodbye either, because that's when the movie's, like you said, moving very fast. And so his death kind of happens like while everything else is still like culminating, and it's tough.
Yeah, it's tough
to see.
Yeah. And I think I'm assuming just Johnny Tran is in jail, so we can't pour one out for him, even as much as I like his character and would love to see him come back. But I think that's going to do it for our first episode of our Fast Week. We will be posting episodes of this pretty regularly, so keep refreshing your podcast feeds. But we are Munch. You can find us and a lot of our content at getmunchedup.com. We're going to tweet throughout the week with the hashtag Munch Fast Week on Twitter, where our handle is at Get Munched Up. We are on Instagram for Get Munched Up, Facebook Get Munched Up, Pinterest Get Munched Up. We are also on Mastodon as well. Just Munch. Not that we're posting to Mastodon much.
What is Mastodon?
Oh, it was like it kind.
Is
there was
that
a big
the
story.
Twitter, like,
yeah.
Okay.
There was a big story about it today. About it's like a off-brand Twitter that's like open source, and
we talked about this before. Okay. Ben mentioned that he like land grabbed that spot, and apparently now it's a thing. So good on you.
Yeah, there was a big article on Motherboard today.
We're just Munch there, right?
We're just
got there
Munch.
Early enough.
Yeah. Nice. I think I'm also just like Ben or something as well.
Oh, that's so cool. I want to get on Mastodon.
I know. I mean, they're only at like 35,000 users right now, so
I bet Andre's just open.
I bet Leanna is. No one's a Leanna.
Head to Mastodon. That's where it's at.
You heard it here first.
And on that note.
This has been our first episode of the Munch Fast Week. We just watched The Fast and the Furious, and we'll be back with more content soon.
Yeah, Thursday.
Soon.